of green, red roses too.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, editor and publisher of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com. Today's special guest is Kristen Rampe, a professional in accounting. Topic today is women aren't making partner in the accounting profession. And so what gives, she asks. Let's say hello to Kristen Rampe.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
That's great. And where are we reaching you? Where are you located today?
I am calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You're an accountant with the Big Four firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers, for a while. Are you still with them now? If not, what are you doing?
No, I am not with them currently. I started my career there. That was about 15 years ago now. I worked for them for a few years. I went into industry and then back into public accounting at a regional firm out in the San Francisco Bay Area. And 4 years ago, I actually left public accounting to bring back communication, team building, learning and development to public accountants. I am the owner of Kristen Rampe Consulting, and we serve CPA firms, bringing them leadership development and communication and advisory to firms that want to get better in those communication and client service areas.
Okay, so let's jump aside here and look back on the field of accounting and about your personal experiences as a woman in the field of accounting, because in the past it used to be all guys, right?
Yes, at one point it was all guys, I'm pretty sure, or at least mostly. I always think back to, what's that movie, A Christmas Carol, right? And the guy is an accountant scribbling in his ledger book. But even since I've been a part of it, actually, women have made up a pretty good percentage of the staff levels in accounting careers. And I think today, and even when I started about 15 years ago, the percentage have been close to 50-50. They are right around 50-50 now. Sometimes women even make up a slightly larger portion of those that are coming in just out of college into the accounting profession.
In 2011, you were named a woman to watch by the California Society of Certified Public Accountants, one of only two awarded in the Emerging Leaders category.
So that was in 2011. I had been at this regional firm, Frank Bimmerman, in the San Francisco Bay Area for about 7 years. And for that award, it was really a culmination of things I had been doing for most of that time. It was mentorship and development of the staff at the firm. It was contributing to the business by creating and developing some new service lines. I was part of a team that was creating Sarbanes-Oxley compliance work, and then we also had an opportunity to step into some Foreign Corrupt Practices Act work, so I was leading some of those charges. And just in general, kind of interest in the profession and financial literacy education through some volunteering that I was doing, a whole variety of things along with high-quality work overall, which is what gets you noticed. You know, you work hard, you do some good things, and that's what led to that award, which was really a great, it's sort of like they say on the Academy Awards, it was the nomination alone felt great, and it was even better to win it, but just felt good to go through that process and, you know, hear about the things that you were doing from people who recognized the value in them.
How can industry leaders retain and develop top-tier, top-talented women?
That's a great question, and it's question of the hour for a lot of accounting firms. Talent retention is always a top issue because that's what public accounting is driven by, is people. We don't have things, we don't have software typically that we're selling, so it's all about the people doing the work. And quality people of any gender are important, but on today's topic sort of women, a few things that leadership can do in that area. The first one I would say is committing to wanting to make a difference in that area. If top leadership, if they don't care, if they think, you know what, we're good enough, we have a token woman or two on our, you know, in our executive leadership area, in our partnership circle, we're fine, it's not going to go anywhere. So the first thing would be to actually commit to wanting to change and figuring out what, you know, what do you want to measure? What's your goal going to be? How are you going to get there? The second part is sponsoring. So helping women in particular, and this benefits men too, but women sometimes have trouble finding sponsor. And a sponsor is someone who will kind of put their own name on the line for someone that they want to develop, give them opportunities, get them access to special projects, special clients, or things that may not be apparent or even available to those who are down in the lower levels of an organization that don't know about it. Third, educate, you know, so talk to your team, talk to your staff. What do they need to know? What skills are they missing? A lot of women get into senior leadership positions or almost there, and they think, gosh, I have to develop business now, and I'm not really sure how. So do they have the skills, and are you starting to develop those skills early enough? And then just being able to adapt, you know, being able to shift your traditional structure to fit what is important to that top talent woman that you want to keep. So those would be some of the ways I would suggest companies go about it.
If you want to get top-tier women, you have to be a best place to work, right? And that means addressing people needs, particularly childbearing age women, and taking care of families mm-hmm. and time outside of an office, working from home, telework, things like that. Would you address that, please?
Yeah, I would say that is absolutely essential. If you want to retain and develop top-tier women that, oh my gosh, actually want to have a family. And not all of them do. You know, there's some that to be child-free, which I like, and I think on some days, I have twins, on some days I think that's actually a fabulous decision. But it is possible for a company to meet the goal, both their business goals as well as that person's goals who now has maybe different goals than when they first started. When they first started, they thought, I'm driven. I want to be at the top of my class in my career. I want to make partner in 10 years. They've got all these. Then all of a sudden, something kicks in. They decide they want to have kids. Now they have two sets of goals. Well, you can meet both of those. It may not look exactly the same because you have, you know, that person might say, you know, it's really important for me now to leave work at 4:30. It used to be important for me to leave at 10:30. Okay, so there's a six-hour loss of time there. You know, there's competing goals, but it is absolutely something that can be done and should be done, especially for those that that you want to retain in development, which is your top talent and also other strong players that might not be your number one, but somebody who really adds a lot of value in other ways to your organization.
So you wrote a book called Accounting Dreams and Delusions.
That is, it's a picture-based humor book for accountants. And it features, I would sort of describe it as a whole lot of accounting memes, most of which are grounded in unreality, things that your clients would probably never say to you. For example, there's a page early in the book where there's this very nice-looking woman sitting at a desk who's clearly very organized, and she says it's to her CPA, do you mind if I give you everything a week early? Which, again, that's part of the dreams and delusions. Would never happen, you know, said no client ever. But the book's purpose really is to share a laugh with those either in public accounting or who work a lot with public accountants. There are different chapters for each of those types of people, just to have a laugh and enjoy their day a bit.
That's funny. Let's drill a little bit, Brynn, now. What are the top skills that will make a partner?
For anybody, women included, typically you're going to have some business development and rainmaking skills. So you're going to have to be able to go out there and sell and close a deal and get clients and keep clients. Hopefully you've been keeping clients all along, but need to be able to go out there and get those in the door because that's the ownership piece of being a partner. Certainly you have to have technical ability. That's sort of you don't even have to say it. If you can't do what your clients are hiring you to do, you're not going to go very far. So have to have that technical ability. You have to have great communication skills. You're going to be speaking not only with your clients, but with your team. Maybe you're even leading a division or a department. So you need to be able to inspire people to communicate bad news, to communicate good news, to tell people who's been successful and how to get the others on your team to be successful in either a similar way or a way that works for them. So those communication skills are key.
Oftentimes, a person who is an accountant, a successful accountant, this person is more of an introvert, more of a heads-down, detail-oriented number cruncher. I can't think of the right word right now, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
How does this person grow to be as bubbly as you or me? and is that going? You know, how do you do that?
Right. Well, that too goes back to interest and commitment. And someone who's looking at accounting and thinking, this is my profession, this is my career, this is what I want to do, and I want to be the best at it. At some point, they will or should recognize that these interpersonal communication skills are very important to a successful accountant. And anyone who's in a partnership, at a partnership level, will tell you that too. I was just speaking with some partners at a firm the other day. We were having the same conversation. So how they do it is recognizing that it's important, first of all, so it shows up on their radar as a goal or something they should achieve. And second is seeking opportunities to learn and practice and develop in that area. So some of that might be formal learning. Some of it might be taking more practice opportunities. A lot of times at firms and in the community, there are chances to present on something or speak publicly or lead a training. So being willing to step up and say, I need to hone these skills. I've got to present to the board at some point. I'm going to, you know, start getting practice at doing that, even on the internal initiatives. And asking for feedback is a huge one in so many areas. But if somebody can say, hey, I'm trying to improve in this area. I'm trying to be a better communicator. Hey, team, how am I doing? What can I change? How can I improve? So asking for that feedback can really make a difference and be reflective to the person who's trying to grow on what they can do differently in the future to be an even better communicator.
What you're really talking about is media training, how to speak publicly, how to respond, how to anticipate, and without getting flustered.
Yeah, that's definitely a piece of it. Some of it is more public-facing in a media sense than others. A lot of it times it's even just, you know, presenting to a board, which is a little more intimate because they are in some ways your client, but can still be very intimidating and very flustering. And in fact, another a little practical recommendation, I've done some work with improv classes, and I bring some of those techniques into classes I do with CPA firms. But I would recommend that those who really want to feel more comfortable in front of an audience for those more public scenarios, that's a great, taking an improv class is a great way to kind of loosen up in that area.
Now, you're not talking about being a stand-up comedian, are you?
No, not at all. Definitely not. No, improv is just a chance to get up there and somebody throws something at you, a scene or a question, and you just have to go with it. And in fact, part of the thing you learn in that is don't try to make a joke. Just try to say something that comes naturally to you. It really helps.
So can you recommend a book or a YouTube video to watch?
Yeah, this is a little bit more on the kind of on the selling side of things, but I think it's especially a good one for public accountants who, as you mentioned, you know, kind of are into the numbers, into the problem solving, and feel a little bit, you know, like skin crawling when we talk about business development. And that one is Go Givers Sell More, which is a follow-on from a Go Givers book by Bob Berg, and that just has some great tips of things people can do that, you know, that are warming you up to selling and business development, but don't feel sort of slimy, salesy like a lot of other techniques can feel.
Okay, now say that one more time.
Go Givers Sell More, as in
go givers.
Give something.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about kids coming out of school, college, opportunities mm-hmm. for growth in the field, especially the millennial. I hate to use that word, I'm sick of it, but young people who have no business experience but may have a lot of technical expertise, how do you get those people involved to want to do what you're saying?
Yeah, those that are new to the profession, some important things that we as an accounting industry can do is first planting the seeds that these things are important, that business development, communication, people skills, to quote that movie Office Space, are in fact essential to your career. Sharing with them stories about things that went well and things that didn't. And I think the most progressive firms are the ones who actually have programs to start goals and tracking of those goals for networking, even, you know, the moment people come in the door. Well, are you connected with your university? Do you go to alumni meetings? How are you involved in the community? The questions that we can ask even the newest of staff. And then the formal learning is saying, hey, you need to improve in these skills. Let's get you a class. Let's, you know, have you maybe shadow somebody. Shadowing is great. If you have someone who's a leader in the firm, even if they're a manager level leader who does a great job in some of these areas, have them always be bringing someone out to lunch with them, out to networking, because they can learn and absorb. And generally speaking, those coming straight out of college these days, they're eager. They really want to learn and grow in these areas. And in fact, they have a an expectation that they will be developed. They don't have this expectation that they're just going to show up and sit there with their head down at work all day. They want to continue to learn. So firms that provide those opportunities to their staff are going to be the ones that will have higher levels of retention of the kind of people that they want to keep.
We're talking with Kristen Rampe, that's K-R-I-S-T-E-N, last name R-A-M-P-E, and it's kristenrampe.com for more information. Do you have a Facebook page too?
I do, yeah. Kristen Rampe Consulting. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Kristen Rampe. It's all very consistent. You just search my name and you'll find every social network you need.
Is there a big future for women in accounting?
Absolutely. And we're already doing a good job. You know, better if you look back 20 years ago, the number of women in leadership positions at CPA firms was really, really low, you know, like single digits, 1%. But now we're much higher. You know, we're coming up to, we're around 20% of women partners at a CPA firm. So it's great progress and it can continue to grow. And there will always be reasons that women don't want to take on leadership positions. Certainly plenty take time off for a long time to start their families and don't go back. And I can understand that too. But being sure that as a community and a profession that we're kind of aware about how to retain and how to advance these top talent women can only benefit, because the more diversity that we have in the leadership ranks, the better businesses perform. So those who are interested in that will keep an eye out and make sure that we don't, you know, regress on those percentages.
So women can step out of the traditional box, as you say, and further develop their leadership skills and embody what you call accounting made awesome.
Yes, that is that's the mantra I have on my website. Women can do it. Men can do it. Accounting is a great profession. I mean, I was in it for 10 years, and I love to help accountants and their firms continue down that path. And, you know, if they feel like they need to make a change to be even more awesome, that's what I can help with.
Thanks for being my guest on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com. This is Ed Cohen and Kristen Rampe. She's based in Michigan, and I'm here in Old Town San Diego. Gotta go. This is Ed Cohen from GlobalBusinessNews.net signing off. Thank you, Kristen, for being our guest today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful